Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that makes Amino Active, proven safe and effective for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This is a very special show, one of several that we're going to be doing on the Radio Pet Lady Network. And the first person I need to do it with is Dr. Donna, who is the expert vet and was tremendously, extraordinarily helpful to me during the very rapid decline and then so sad demise of my young dog, Teddy. And the point of this show is that what I went through not be in vain, what Teddy went through not be in vain, and even what Dr. Donna went through in trying to support what we were experiencing not be in vain. The point of this show is it takes a village to keep a dog healthy, and it definitely takes a village in the case of a medical crisis or even issue. Dr. Donna, this is a sad time. I haven't actually talked to you since Teddy died, but I think everybody knows from my blogs and just from listening on the air to you, how compassionate you are, how smart, how clear. And I just want to say to people again, this isn't, you need Dr. Donna if you kind of have a cat with diabetes and it's not under control. This is, you need Dr. Donna if your dog gets ill and isn't getting better within the first day. Donna, do you think that that's too strong of a statement? Because that's where I'm going to be tortured for my whole life, that it was several days before I called for your help.
Well, you know, first, thanks for having me, and my heart just still goes out to you for your loss of Teddy. You know, I like this. It takes a village, because it really does, and it's, you know, it's so hard in a crisis situation. There's so much information. There's so much stress, so much emotion. You know, it's so hard. You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. But I think, you know, and it's hard for a pet owner to understand, is this a situation that
That's
is going
right.
to be a crisis?
That's right.
I'm just going to remind you that you thought things were probably, you know, chugging along just fine. Even that first day, he was sick, yes, but you know, it's hard to understand when is there really a crisis. And, you know, and that's something in the gut. Sometimes a pet owner will know something is just really, really, really wrong. And you did have that sense.
Yes, I did.
That there was something really, really wrong. And I would encourage pet owners to say, if that's the case and you're not getting an answer from your vet or not getting a very discreet, descriptive plan, we're giving him this today, and if this doesn't work, I'm going to see you first thing in the morning, and we're going to do this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if that's not, you know, if that's not what's happening, if a veterinarian seems to be floundering or you're floundering as a pet owner or you're just not feeling well supported, the first step is there are most areas of the country, there are other veterinarians within a city, there are specialty clinics within a lot of cities, Or in the situation, I'm a email or phone call away, where you can get support and you can get some additional input to help you navigate, because you're not a veterinarian. We don't expect you to know,
that's right.
You know,
that's
what's
right.
going on. But there are support services now. Obviously, what I do is non-traditional, but it's becoming more widespread. You know, there is a need for the kind of services that I offer remotely. You know, and I think we'll really see this is a trend.
And it's a trend that many veterinarians may not be aware of, even specialty hospitals.
Right.
But why we're doing this show and why we're going to do the other shows is to get across to you as dog and cat owners that every day you wait and think, well, I don't want to offend my vet. Well, maybe everything's going to be okay. Maybe my sense inside that this is not my usual kitty or dog. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Right.
It's better to overreact and reach out for help that seems like it's that real authority figure that is needed than to live and be haunted, as so many people have told me since I lost Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
Haunted by choices not made, by roads not taken, and it's something you can't really get peace about. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to let Dr. Donna talk to us about situations in which having somebody jump in who has your back, who is a coach in a very difficult team situation that should be a team situation, why that's what you need. And if it's a quote-unquote false alarm and it resolves quickly and it isn't a big deal, hey, you're way ahead of the game. You already have that relationship for if there's another time, and you're one of the lucky ones. Because when dogs in particular get sick, and I've heard this over and over, and Donna will tell us the why and the wherefore, they can go from alive to dead in a day, 2 days, or 4 days. That's with or without major medical intervention. They can actually suffer and die that fast. And it's pretty shocking. It's not what we expect. When we come back, we'll let Dr. Donna tell us what those warning signs are in a general sense, even if it's just following your own instincts. We'll be right back. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum that is custom-tailored to your pet's specific allergy results to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years, a blood test that measures a pet's reaction to 90 common airborne elements in foods. Their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. And support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too. We are back. Dr. Donna Spector and I are talking about how it takes a village to help you navigate even a wellness situation with your dog. And maybe we'll do a second show about that, Donna, because at some point, I don't know that we'll have time today, but at some point I want to tell you about a new little puppy that I helped a family get. And then when I visited the puppy at 10 weeks old, he was skin and bones, and bones. And they didn't know. Their own vet wasn't weighing the dog, didn't tell them how much food to feed or to deworm. And, you know, even in the simplest situations, we often need help. It may be frustrating to people who love their vet and want to love their vet, but sometimes things get missed.
And,
so,
and let me just make one quick comment here, because I've done this for many years now. And what I find many people contact me for, and I find is my real forte, my real strength, is you go to your vet's office, you have your 15 or 30 minute appointment, you have your wellness check, you talk a little bit about, are we going to vaccinate? Are we going to do a titer? Are we going to do, you know, how's the diet? How's the nutrition? Ooh, I had a little diarrhea the other day. There's a lot packed into a 15 to 30 minute appointment.
Right.
The blood gets drawn, then randomly you get a phone call, you know, a week down the road, maybe a few days down the road, you're maybe bombarded with information, and it just buzzes around in your head as a pet owner.
Yes.
You're like, okay, well, everything generally seemed okay. Well, maybe what you extracted from the phone call about the blood work, maybe it wasn't quite right. And I'm always astounded by how many times pet owners don't really have a good grasp of the information that their veterinarian tries to give them. And so, again, I always encourage people, get your dog's lab work. Get a copy of it so you can look at it. And if there are highs or lows or abnormals, when you're focused again, you can call back and say, hey, you know, I just noticed my dog's liver value or this value was elevated.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Is this something I need to follow up on? And again, this is when many people reach out and contact me and say, my dog generally seems okay, but can you evaluate the lab work? Can you let me know if there's anything, you know, that I should be doing? And because I take the time and really go through, you know, all the possibilities, maybe a follow-up protocol, things that a lot of times your veterinarians don't have time for. And just being a listening ear, someone who can help you navigate, this is an issue, this isn't an issue, you should maybe take your dog back in a month, you should help them by following up in 6 months. You know, I think that's, again, the strength is someone that can take a little more time with you, go through all the details, and so there's many moving pieces to that. I think people should be their own pet's advocate by always asking for records and blood work and following up and making sure that there aren't abnormalities that you weren't told about or that, you know, things that maybe you do indeed need to follow up on.
Well, the beauty of today's technology is that you can ask your vet, as I am now doing, to email you lab results. That means, A, you've got them. They're a permanent record. You can look at them in the email. You can download it. You can print it. But if something changes, either your opinion about the situation or your dog or cat's wellness, you then have an email that, should you choose to reach out to Dr. Donna. And when I say this is an absolute endorsement, plug, encouragement for Dr. Donna's services, that's not what this show's about. But I have to tell you that as bad as Teddy got, as sick as he got, as horrible as I felt, as confused as I was, as frustrated as I was, that my primary vet wasn't stepping in to help navigate, that the internist, board-certified internist, same background that Dr. Donna has, was very hard to talk to, very hard to reach, didn't have a plan, couldn't articulate it. I was trying to ask for things without being able to explain why I was asking. It was really because Dr. Donna was asking me to ask for it. You really need to have an extra coach on the team. It takes a village. Don't worry about hurting other people's feelings. Don't worry about if you don't have pet insurance, what it'll cost. It's a de minimis amount of money compared to the emotional strain of trying to understand what your dog or cat is going through.
And I'll point out, you know, this is why I also, when I perform a consultation, you know, as a requirement, you know, I do like to, obviously, I speak to the veterinarian who's caring for the pet, because it's, you know, in order to, you know, it's not expected that you would know how to relay information necessarily. You know, unfortunately, we know Teddy's situation happened. I'm way out on vacation. You know, there was
the one vacation. She's off, guys, riding Arabian endurance horses on a cattle ranch in the mountains. And still, and I think she'd do this even if you were just her patient and not her friend and her colleague, trying to be in touch with me, trying to, you know, look at lab results at the end of a long, dusty day on the trail.
That there can be, it can put a pet owner in an awkward situation to say, oh, I'm going to reach out to someone else. And that's why I try to ease that situation by, if someone contacts me with a pet question, I ask them if they're fine if I contact their veterinarian, because legally that's the only way I can do a consultation.
That's right.
And contact them colleague to colleague and say, I've been contacted, who I am, what my background is. If, you know, can I assist? Would you mind if I review the record with you? Can I give you some ideas? Let's, you know, again, take a team approach. And I will repeat, this is commonplace in human medicine.
That's right.
This is something your family doctor, I mean, there is no qualm. They know what their limitations are, and they send you off to this person about diabetes, this person for your kidney, this person for your prostate. And it's so subspecialized. We're moving in that direction in veterinary medicine, and I'm seeing good progress being made. And general family vets are becoming more used to calling for consultations, doing consultations over the phone, And it, you know, it's a process, but I think they're understanding that pet owners want incredible care for their pet. They want the benefit of a specialist, even if there's not a specialist 20 minutes down the road. They want the benefit to their pet. And so general veterinarians are now reaching out more to specialists. And when a specialist contacts them, they are more receptive in the last couple years than we've seen previously. So it's a process. It's happening. And it's always okay as a pet owner with a dog or a cat who's in a situation, be it critical or just a new diabetic, to say to your vet, would you mind consulting with a specialist? Would you just mind, do you have a specialist? Most veterinarians in this country have an account with one of the two big laboratories in this country.
Right.
They all offer specialist consultations on the
really?
Phone. Really? That's what I do. I mean, I work for a big lab and I talk to veterinarians all day long on the phone.
And it's on behalf of either IDEXX or Antech. Those are the two big labs.
IDEXX and Antech are the two large laboratories in this country, and they have a full staff of internists on their consult line.
I didn't even know that.
At any time of day, a veterinarian can call and say, hey, I have this new diabetic. Could you look at its lab work with me?
Oh, boy.
We have access. We pull up the lab work.
Oh, boy.
We can do a consultation about diet, about insulin, about follow-up. So it's okay as a pet owner to say, you know, my dog's just been diagnosed with diabetes. Could you contact a specialist, you know, and just, you know, make sure that let's have a great plan put in place, a good follow-up. That they should be okay with it. You're not asking necessarily to go to the internist 4 hours down the road. You know, you're talking about them making a quick phone call. And it is commonplace. We have those phone calls every single day.
I didn't realize that consulting that you did professionally as opposed to one-on-one personally was through a lab. That makes it even
and
more
can
agree.
Can I give you one
yes,
more
please.
Thing? It's a free service to these veterinarians who use the lab.
You know, can you guys feel or smell or hear the smoke coming out of my ears? This makes me so angry, so frustrated, because not only does your home vet often not immediately take blood and or do x-rays in a situation where you don't know what's going on and the animal is bad and getting worse. In Teddy's case, no blood was drawn. When he went in the night before, he had stopped eating the day before that. So it's now a day and a half without food, and he's kind of gagging in a weird sort of way, and the vet doesn't draw blood. Why not? Not only is blood where you can see things happening early. When Donna saw his blood that was drawn in the emergency hospital on Sunday, she said to me, "This is screaming cancer to me." We'd never got the diagnosis of cancer till 3 days after I had to euthanize him after 4 days of intense suffering on his part while waiting for blood work and that wasn't sent out stat, which means quickly. I didn't know that was a choice. It costs a little more. If your animal's really sick, whatever the vet is should be doing blood work, should be doing follow-up blood work, and should be sending it out stat so you get the answers quickly, because someone like Donna, if they are too numbskull themselves, reads the blood and says, here's what I think is happening compared to yesterday or 8 hours ago. Right, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Not taking blood and then not jumping on it right away and then not acting on it is obscene. It's an obscene waste of life and of wellness. How do you not? I lost a dog to pancreatitis, my darling Roma, golden retriever, back in California. Many, you know, all of us who've lost dogs in situations where we think if we had jumped in sooner, not our fault, we don't have veterinary degrees, if the veterinarian had jumped in sooner, encouraged us to jump in sooner, as Donna's doing, we might have completely saved them or extended a quality of life. I didn't do a blood test on her. She hadn't eaten. She was throwing up. Her stomach wasn't tender. Well, neither was Teddy's stomach tender. It turned out he had cancer of the liver and the spleen. That he didn't show pain, Donna, this is not a marker, right? I mean, that's no proof that there wasn't something deadly serious going on. The blood told you that.
Right.
So if one advocates for nothing except for lab work immediately, I asked for x-rays when I went back in the following morning. He was clearly in great distress, having been given injections for nausea, injections for pain, then pain pills. Nothing made a difference. I said, should we take some x-rays? And the vet said to me verbatim, take pictures just to take pictures? I don't know what we'd be looking for. When we come back from the break, Donna, would you explain what diagnostics are about? They're about looking for things you can't see otherwise because we don't have x-ray vision and we cannot know what's going on in the body systems and the organs without blood work and sometimes urine. We'll be right back after this break, and I'm not going to calm down. I'm not going to calm down until everybody gets the message that it takes a village and you need a doctor like Donna to help you navigate. Even if you have board-certified specialists that are helping your pet, if you don't think they have a clear view of what they're doing and they can't explain it to you right, you pick up that email and or you go to RadioPetLady.com, you get Dr. Donna's contact. She will jump in to be a diplomatic and very forceful advocate for your pet and for figuring out what's going on. We'll be right back after this break. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum that is custom-tailored to your pet's specific allergy results to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years, a blood test that measures a pet's reaction to 90 common airborne elements in foods. Their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. And support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too. We are back. Dr. Donna, I know that your intention is not to speak ill of primary vets, not at all. They,
right.
They do a great job. Unfortunately, my own vet was away as you were away when all this happened with Teddy. So it was someone else in the office, but someone who'd been a vet for 40 years. And I'm sure you've had situations where people have come to you with incredibly ill animals, and you might feel some frustration too that certain tests right. weren't done or weren't done sooner or weren't read properly, or the vets didn't even know that those labs have someone like you to help consult for free.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, and this is where I think your statement of you can't worry about hurting someone else's feelings. As a pet owner, you know your pet better than anyone else. If there is a scenario where your animal seems critically ill to you, where they are not eating, they're vomiting, they're painful, they're moaning, just something is clearly, clearly wrong, and you go to your veterinarian and you're really not getting, or it's not your veterinarian, someone you don't necessarily
right,
know, but you
right.
feel like they don't address your
yes.
concerns.
Yes.
As much as it's maybe goes against our grain, you know, call up another vet in your town. If you don't have access to specialists, or you don't, you know, in, or an emergency clinic in, you know, obviously
yes.
there are many, many places underserviced by emergency veterinarians in this country.
Yeah. Mine's an hour away.
So, you know, you go to your general vet sort of poo-poos your concern. Oh, we'll give
yep.
them this. We'll
yep.
see how they feel.
There
in
you
the
go.
Morning.
There you go.
And if that's not okay with you, oh my goodness, at least just call up the phone and call the neighboring vet clinic 15 minutes down the road and say, I'm really concerned about my pet. I've been to my regular vet. Could I come in and see one of your veterinarians? I mean, you try again. It may be someone you don't know, but, you know, I would say you have to be your pet's advocate, and you may get further with someone else. Every vet has a different skill level, and they have a different diagnostic approach. And, you know, if you're not getting the answer that you want, or you feel like you're being sort of blown off a little bit and you are really worried about your pet, that is when you just step outside. It doesn't mean you won't someday go back to that vet
That's right.
for general health care. They're very good maybe at general health care, but when it comes to being a really sick pet, maybe that's not their strength, and that's okay. But, you know, it's the pet owner's responsibility to say, I'm not okay with this. I'm still not feeling good about this. And you can see another general vet. You know, most towns have one, sometimes two, three, you know, veterinary clinics. So, you know, that's in some situations, the only option is just second opinion. It's getting another person's opinion. It may not be a specialist. You may not have access to that.
Right.
But at least, you know, there are a lot of, it's again, just because we're all veterinarians, we don't all have the same training and knowledge and skill set.
or the same way of reading people. If you can't read the pet, I mean, by the time a day later that I took Teddy, because now it was a Sunday, into the emergency facility, where there was the usual ragtag bunch of dogs and cats in the waiting room of an emergency facility on the weekend, a doctor came urgently over to me and said, "Your dog looks really ill. Would you like to come in a room?" I'm like, "Yeah." Now, this is how ill he looked the day before, when a vet who'd seen him throughout his life went, "You know, I just don't know. Let's just see how he does with this pain shot," as opposed to take blood, take x-ray, or we're closing in 4 hours on a Saturday. If you want to take a drive to Latham, which is where the specialty place is, which is near Albany, an hour away, maybe, because they have diagnostics right there. They have ultrasound. They have x-ray. They could hook him up to an IV. Hey, is that such a hard idea? If the owner says, "No, you know what? My dog's 14. He's really lame. I don't want to put him through that. If this is the end of his life, or so something's really wrong, so be it." But not with a young, healthy dog.
Right.
I think.
And that's it. And that's what, there is still a roadblock. Some, and I'll just say, some, even sometimes older school veterinarians, people who have been in practice a long time,
that's
when specialty medicine wasn't commonplace.
That's right.
We are seeing that less and less in the graduates that have come out in the last 15 to 20 years, even 25 years. You know, specialty practices in emergency clinics and, you know, the diagnostic approach, it's encouraged more than it was 30 and 40 years ago. And so, you know, sometimes that doesn't even occur to them. You know, it's like they're going to do what they can and then they'll see you back. But again, if you're uncomfortable, and that's where the pet owner just doesn't have blind faith. They don't just
that's
have
right.
blind faith to say, "Okay, well, if you think I should just bring him back tomorrow." If you really feel that your pet is not well, then seeing another vet, going to an emergency clinic, somehow doing something else, you know, it is the right thing to do.
And the reason it's the right thing to do, Donna, and this is what I really want to impress upon people, all of us that have lived with animals throughout our lives have given the gift of kind euthanasia to dogs when they were either suddenly fell ill or usually when they're quite old and various quality of life parameters have gone down the drain. And now you say, "The time has come." And they say to you, "Oh, the dog will let you know." And those of us that have been lucky enough to have dogs that have lived out a fairly long life, they let you know, "Oh my God, I'm really done. I'm super feeling awful mm-hmm. today." And within 24 hours, you've sent them off across the rainbow bridge to puppy heaven. The problem for we pet owners that don't have a clear-cut old dog, you know, moment is that it will haunt you. I guarantee this to you, every one of you. It will haunt you till your dying day. There was a gal when I was on Sirius XM who had a young Springer Spaniel. I think he was maybe 6 or 7. And I never wanted to ask the specifics, but these were her two boys. She was a single woman, no human children, no spouse. And these were her boys. And one of them fell ill and was in the specialty hospital. And every day she went there, I knew this, because she wasn't at work, to bring him something to try and encourage him to eat.
Mm-hmm.
About 8 or 10 days went by, and he died. I don't know that he died on his own or he had to be euthanized. 1 year later, Donna, she still was in a profound depression, rarely ate, because she couldn't grasp what had happened, what had gone wrong, should something different have happened, and she was in a very good place, in a good specialty hospital. So, and my own lawyer, I saw, and you know, I think it's really important when you've had a loss like this, it's not that Teddy died or that I had to put him to sleep. It's the suffering that led up to it and what seemed like an untimely death. He was a month from his 8th birthday. Mm-hmm. He lost a dog a year ago. The ashes are still by his bedside. He has another dog, a collie, but this first dog, a Bernese Mountain Dog, had a 2-week period of severe diarrhea and not feeling well, and his own vet never took blood, never did any sort of diagnostic, gave him some medication for the diarrhea, and the dog was riddled with cancer and had these 2 awful weeks.
Right.
He can't live with that. And this is why I think that what you can offer people is not just for the dog, but it's for, or cat, but it's for the owner to know that there's someone who's got your smarts, has your background, has your knowledge, who can read what's written on a piece of paper and understand what might jump out at you. You can talk to the vet that has their hand on the dog or cat and get feedback from the vet. So do you see this? Do you see that? What about the heart rate? What about whatever else you might ask them?
Right.
And then you can make suggestions so that if the moment comes that it's hopeless and it's over or the animal just dies, The person really can say, I did everything I could. Because all these vets said to me, you did everything you could. And I don't know that that's the case, quite honestly, because I don't know that the progression of what was done, what was looked at, when and how, and what was attempted was correct. He was riddled with cancer. He was a goner. I understand that now, but it's really awful to get that information 76 hours after you put him to sleep. Because you would have had that information sooner if Dr. Donna had, or you know, or the equivalent, if you're lucky enough to have such a person, everybody, would have said, you know, you got to go do that biopsy, even if that doctor is has his qualms about it. Because without that information, we don't know what we're dealing with, and he's getting worse by the hour.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I'm sure you have long distance been able to comfort people, even in loss, and they had that sense that they had top-notch information every step of the way, because we are ignorant of all the medical stuff and we are emotionally fried. So we are not reliable partners in it other than to say, help, help, help me, help my pet, you know?
And, you know, from the veterinarian side of things as well, many times, you know, this is something I see as well. The family veterinarian, the vet you've seen for 15, 20, 30 years in some situations, because they're just been the vet that you've always
seen. That's right.
It is difficult for them to give tough information.
That's right.
Like when they have to say your dog is riddled with cancer, or it could be riddled with cancer. I mean, that's really hard information to deliver, and they try to soften the blow many times. And that's in the aftermath that sometimes looked at as you didn't give me all the information I needed. But there's an emotional relationship component there that makes sometimes that information
that's
very
a really
difficult
good point.
To give.
That's
also,
a really
even
good point.
In the specialty environment, you know, like when I'm taking care of a very ill dog, you become attached. You become attached to the dog. You become attached to the owner. And again, there's an emotional component. And that's why sometimes getting a remote person involved that can just look at the nuts and bolts and the moving parts and say, okay, I realize how bad the dog's looking doing this or that. But like someone who can remove the emotional element of it and say, this is what needs to be done. Let's go X, Y, Z. That can be really useful. Because
extremely.
There's a lot of emotion
you put
in
that,
these situations.
You put that really well, because I asked several times during the week, is Teddy going to die? Do I need to prepare myself and him for death? Is it imminent? And I couldn't get that feedback from this intern. It's lots of waffling. No, I understand. No one has a crystal ball. But on the last day, when my sister was with me and he was clearly swollen with edema everywhere, groaning, he was clearly sick to death. I said one last question to the emergency room doctor, who I'd only seen in passing during the week that Teddy was in the ICU. And I said, do you think there's any chance to check his, I don't know, whatever I said, something I repeated from you or another vet, bilirubin level. And he said, we can do that, but Teddy is not going to recover. And those words, as I cried and said, thank you, were what I needed to hear. Right. We need to hear it's done. There's nothing more you can do. We need that clarity.
Right.
And not to be strung along, although that's not the intention, to have the blow softened makes you think even the 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours more of suffering that the animal had, you know, if people say, oh, you gave him 7 great years, it's those 72 awful hours that haunt you.
Right.
And I'm not alone in this, you know,
you're right.
And that's a silly thing, an emotionally sort of, you know, blown up thing, but it's the reality for all of us with our pets.
Right.
But you don't have to go through the process the way I did. You can have a backup and a team and just be, remember, RadioPetLady.com, and you get Donna's contact information on there. It doesn't matter what day of the week or night. Email is around the clock. And if you're in that situation, I just cannot urge you enough to have the privilege that I did of having somebody, even with her coaching, it's still really hard to get change to happen on the ground in your physical space, but at least you feel that the village was there for you.
Right.
So Donna, I thank you again on behalf of me and Teddy, but especially on behalf of the animals that you're helping now and will help. They deserve you, they need you, and we all thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
We'll talk again soon, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Ellen DeGeneres, like the one from TV. And if you love your animals as much as I love mine, you'll feed them Halo pet food. It's so good, the National Canine Cancer Foundation awarded my company, Halo, its first ever seal of excellence. So do what's best for your pet and feed them Halo.
Halo, the number one selling natural pet food brand, using only real meat, never any meals. Halo is available at Petco, Whole Foods Market, and your local pet specialty or natural food store. Visit HaloPets.com.